This episode sponsored by Lease End. Before you return your leased car, stop. You could be handing back the exact car you should keep. If you already love the car in your driveway, Lease End makes buying it out simple. No dealership pressure, no back and forth, just a straightforward way to keep the car you already know and trust. Tell Lease End what you're driving, and Lease End handles the financing, so you can buy it out quickly, often with better terms than the dealership. Why give back the car you already love? With Lease End, you can keep what's already yours in every way that matters. Visit leaseend.com. That's leaseend.com before your lease is up. Lease End. Keep the car. Skip the dealership.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio. The Big E Sports Show. As always, we like to pause and recognize the folks that power all of us, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, the conversation continues as we get you ready for the AFC, the NFC championship games on Sunday. And right now we are going to shift gears and focus in on the NFC championship. So time now, once again, my sidekick on this Friday night. He's a Big E favorite. That is Robert Harris. We love him here at the network, our producer at SB Nation. Give him a follow at Robo Harris Jr. and at In the Clutch. That's an awesome podcast. I mean, you talk about wide-ranging. Y'all cover it all. Hello, Robert. Welcome
thank
back,
you,
hour
thank
two.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Did you like hour one?
I like hour one.
Okay, it was all good. All right, so let's talk some more about the NFC. And let me just ask you this. I mean, which high-powered offense is going to prevail?
I think the Saints will prevail. I mean, due to being at home, but the Thunder and Lightning in the backfield with Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram and a star-studded wideout in Michael Thomas, that's all you need for Drew Brees. And Drew Brees is playing as well as Patrick Mahomes, as I spoke about earlier in hour one, a MVP caliber type season that he had. So I will want to see the Saints have that high caliber offense.
There's so many things to look forward to with this particular matchup. But my last question before we go to commercial break and join James Hale is Sean McVay, this young dynamic coach. What do you appreciate about him the most?
I appreciate him that he's bringing that air raid type of offense to the NFL. And it's a copycat league, of course, and he's the blueprint. He's the forefront guy. So as you see the new hirings of Cliff Kingsbury to the Cardinals, that's why, because of Sean McVay, to spread out the ball, allow it, pistol offense or whatnot. So he's the future of the NFL. I know that's a long shot to say, but he is the future of the NFL.
Good stuff. Hey, Robert Harris, our producer, SB Nation. Stick around. Much more coming your way here in hour two. We're going to talk some Dallas Mavericks basketball with Mike Peasley from the Dallas Mavericks Radio Network. And up next, James Hale, host of Total Sports. We're going to talk about the Sooners. Lots of change underway. Jalen Hurts coming over from Alabama.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, it is hour two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect with us here in hour two. That is at E-Radio Sports. You can always email the show, info@eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. I tell you what, we are so excited to have back with us here in hour two. That is James Hale, host of Total Sports 10 to 2 on KREF in Norman, Oklahoma. Give him a follow. It's a quick podcast on all OU sports. James has got you covered. Follow Patreon, you. And James, I tell you what, things are lighting up in Norman, Oklahoma. It's a hot spot. We've got a lot of storylines to get into tonight. And I know our listeners across the country, they are very anxious to hear from you. How are you, Jay?
I'm doing great, Ian. It's always great to talk to you, and always better to see you in person, but I don't get that privilege. I just have to dream about that and just talk to you on the radio. So, but, you know, hey, it's the off season, right? So
yeah.
University of Oklahoma, we have seven stories every day, right? So it's been kind of interesting. I mean, this is supposed to be kind of a dead period in college football, and yet here we are, and we're having games every single day and everything that's going on. So it's been pretty crazy when you think about it. And, you know, this has been a unique time, you know, with Kyler Murray announcing he's going to the NFL, then the debate where he should go to the NFL or Major League Baseball, to the fact that Jalen Hurts is transferring to OU, the fact that Austin Kendall's transferring to West Virginia. It's pretty crazy. There's no question about that.
Hey, big and breaking news, as you're saying, it continues just to happen right there in Norman, Oklahoma. So let's hit on first, James, let's talk about Jalen Hurts. He announces his transfer to Oklahoma from Alabama. Your reaction, and Oklahoma, it looks like they're going to have, once again, the best quarterback in the Big 12 Conference.
Well, it's a win-win for everybody, and Oklahoma's got great young quarterbacks, and Tanner Mordecai and Spencer Rattler on the way. Austin Kendall was a good quarterback, but Austin, who's been a backup for 3 years, saw that he couldn't get on the field. So, you know, once Coach Riley was honest with him, and Coach Riley told him that they had a chance to get Jalen Hurts and they would go after that if they could, then, you know, Austin Kendall realized that, you know, he needed to go find some place where he could play. Let's just put it that way, and try to play, because that wasn't going to happen for him at OU. Getting Jalen Hurts, though, has been a positive, one of the most positive things I've seen at OU. It's been a win-win. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody is saying positive things about it, that the fact he's coming to OU. There's not one person out there that's saying a negative thing about it. Everybody's really positive about it. And that's been an amazing thing. Even the Alabama fans, even the Alabama media, they can't find a negative thing to say about Jalen Hurts. So all they can say is Oklahoma's getting a great quarterback. And everybody believes that Jalen Hurts is good enough to help Oklahoma get back to the Final Four and to be a Heisman Trophy contender. What's weird, and this is crazy when you think about it, he started out as Heisman Trophy candidate. Odds were 9-1, and now they're 6-1. I mean,
wow.
He hasn't taken a snap at OU. He hasn't even been to a practice yet. He hasn't gone to one Lincoln Riley drill yet, and yet he's 6-1. So I find that amazing. But that's the quality of individual this guy is. And he is a good quarterback. I mean, he's lost 2 games in his college career. He did lose the job to Tua, and everybody knows about that. But when he played, he was obviously a better quarterback this past year. He is an NFL quarterback. I have talked to those in the NFL. They say that he will get drafted when he comes out this year. Right now they say he's a 3rd or 4th round draft pick. He's coming to OU to work under the quarterback whisperer that Lincoln Riley is.
Yes.
To get better and to get back into that 2nd round or possibly that 1st round. And if he improves as much as he's banking on, he'll be able to do that.
You're listening to The Voice, James Hale, host of Total Sports 10-2 on KREF in Norman, Oklahoma. Follow him for his online videos at Patreon U. It's a quick podcast on all OU sports, not just OU football. So as we talk about Jalen Hurts, here he was, as you were just mentioning, James, 26-2 as a starter, led the Crimson Tide to the national championship game in the first 2 seasons. So what are your expectations? You know, what does he do for Oklahoma? Obviously, you're thinking maybe playoff bound, but do you put him ahead of, you know, Clemson and Alabama? I mean, are the Sooners going to be right at the top?
I don't put them ahead of Clemson or Alabama because OU's rebuilding somewhat on offense, and I think they will. But you got to replace 4 starting offensive linemen. Bill Beatenbow is a great offensive line coach. He's recruited really well. They have good prospects to do that, but none of them have played. Now they have an All-American type center in Creed Humphrey, and he is going to be an either a 1- or 2-year All-American. He's that good, and he'll anchor this group. But they're going to need young guys to come through, like Adrian Ealy or Eric Swenson or Bray Walker or Daryl Simpson or David Swabe or Finley Felix, who they just signed. I mean, it's a wide-open situation. Tyrese Robinson is a promising young guard they really like. Marquise Hayes is another. Felix was the JUCO guy that they got. But that's one of the reasons why it's going to be a little bit of a rebuilding. Now, Jalen brings great experience. He's very poised. You know, he's very positive in what he does. And he comes into OU feeling good about how he's, you know, where his career is at. And so that's a positive deal for him. And I think that's going to be a positive thing all the way around for OU. And, you know, I think what he does, when those things get rough and that offensive line struggles early, he'll calm them down, say, all right, guys, I got your back, and OU does have a quality, you know, receivers coming back. They do have all their running backs coming back, and they've added more. So he'll just bring a calming influence. I mean, everybody in that offense, they've never met him, they've never talked to him, but they know Jalen Hurts is a quality quarterback that's a winner, and he's got that coming in. So he'll bring that attitude that's already there because OU's a winning program, but right now there's a little uncertainty because Baker graduated, Kyler's graduated. Now who's the next great quarterback? And everybody thought it would be Kendall, Mordecai, or Spencer Rattler. Now everybody's pretty sure it's going to be Jalen Hurts, one of the most celebrated quarterbacks in the country, and that doesn't happen very often that a team gets a quarterback of this caliber.
What do you think Lincoln? What do you think Lincoln Riley will do to and his staff to make this transition as seamless as possible? Obviously, you're talking about James. Listening to you, I mean, Oklahoma, they've secured a veteran quarterback. He is going to have that calming presence, but there will be a little bit of a learning curve, right? You know, making that crossover with the Sooners.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, it's something that they it will be a little bit of an adjustment. He's just such a mature kid that he's going to walk into as good or a better quarterback environment than he's been in at Alabama. Alabama's changed coaches, offensive coordinators, and yet they're still great. That's what's amazing about Alabama. That is really crazy when you think about it. You know, he'll walk into an environment here that's produced the last two Heisman Trophy winners, both quarterbacks, and both quarterbacks set at monster years and set records in college football. So he'll walk in with great anticipation. He won't be able to wait until he can work with Lincoln Riley. And Lincoln Riley's going to have fun working with this quarterback that has already accomplished so much in college football, but he still needs to refine his passing game and still needs to get better there. So I think he walks in right into a tailor-made situation. And once he gets used to the fact that it's a little bit different, you know, color of crimson or red or whatever you want to call it. And he's got to battle CeeDee Lamb for the number two. And so I don't know what happens there. You know, but outside of that, it's going to be a smooth transition for him.
Yes, and it is huge for Oklahoma. You're talking about a proven winner when we talk about Jalen Hurts. What's interesting, you know, you just think about just so much success that has taken place. Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, back-to-back Heisman, you know, winners. Could he make Heisman history and make this happen too? I mean, what's your belief?
Well, I think that's a little far-fetched. I think it's a possibility. I mean, you know, he was a Heisman candidate, you know, before he lost his job. And Oklahoma produces, and Oklahoma's going to give him the numbers to do that. So let's say that Oklahoma doesn't have a bump in the road. Let's say Oklahoma's the lead again. Let's say Oklahoma's a Final Four team again, and he's the quarterback, and he's going to be producing those numbers. You bet he's going to be a candidate again. It's easy to do that with what's happening at Oklahoma and what's happening in the environment at Oklahoma. And I don't think there's any doubt that he has a chance to get back and be a possible Heisman Trophy candidate again.
Hey, James Hale with us tonight, KREF Norman, Oklahoma. We're going to step aside for a quick break, and we'll be rejoined. James Hale, host of Total Sports 10 to 2 in Norman, Oklahoma.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, we're back. Hour two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Here in just a moment, we're going to rejoin one of our favorite guests, host of Total Sports 10 to 2, KREF in Norman, Oklahoma, and that is James Hale. But we've always got to pause and recognize the folks that power all of us right here at SB Nation, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, James and I, we have been breaking down all the breaking news that continues to transpire in Norman, Oklahoma. Obviously, very exciting with Jalen Hurts as he announces his transfer to Oklahoma. And, of course, was 26-2 as a starter, led the Crimson Tide, as I mentioned earlier, to the national championship game in his first two seasons. Step back, James. Give us your analysis in terms of, I mean, you have studied so many quarterbacks that have played for Oklahoma throughout the years, but does Jalen Hurts, does his style fit Lincoln Riley's offense?
It's going to, because Lincoln's offense is so flexible that he'll figure out in the 4 or 5 months that he has here before the season starts what the strengths are of Jalen Hurts, and they'll tailor the offense around it. Think Thomas Lott back in the day, 76, 77, 78, great wishbone quarterback of the Sooners, who actually threw the ball pretty well, but he had shoulder pads bigger than your building that you're in. That's the way they played with football back then. But Thomas, if he'd have had today's game to play in, would have been a very accomplished thrower, and he would have been a downhill, powerful runner. You know, Kyler Murray was a sprinter, running the football, avoided contacts, would slide out of bounds, would skip and dive, you know, for first downs. He really never wanted to get hit, and he never really has, and that's a credit to him playing the game and why he's not fearing going to the NFL. Jalen Hurts is a runner. He's a tailback. He's a fullback coming downhill. He's going to look for contact. Remember that play that he scored late against Georgia and he kind of splits the two safeties? Well, he's bigger than the safeties. I mean, he's a 6'2", 215, 220-pound guy that has a 570, 600-pound squat. He's got a 300, 325-pound bench. This is a little bit of a different animal that's coming to OU, so to speak. It's a different athlete. It's a different guy that's coming. And Lincoln will figure out a way to come up with his assets and tailor them for his offense, and he'll make it work. I think that's why Jalen's coming. You know, he wants to work with Lincoln. It's a different voice. It's a different eye set that's looking at him. But he's looking at it, and he's going, you know what? I've been in a great program. But this is the quarterback environment that every quarterback envies in college football right now. It's that quarterback room at the University of Oklahoma under Lincoln Riley. And I think he's excited about coming, and Oklahoma's excited to get him. This, from afar, has been a player. It's kind of like I'm a Red Sox fan. So I always hated I always hated Derek Jeter. And But yet, I always appreciated how great Jeter was.
Sure.
It seemed like he hit like 9 times in a game against the Red Sox and kept, you know, beating them at every time that he played. So I was always going, man, is Jeter going to bat again? Well, this is kind of Oklahoma and Jalen Hurts. They've always respected him so much, even though they've wanted to beat Alabama and they've not liked Alabama, but they respected Jalen Hurts and they're glad they've got him on their team now.
Hey, James, you are the ultimate guru with college recruiting, covered the Sooners for what I would say probably close to 40 years and have done an amazing job. You know, kind of take us behind the scenes. I mean, how does something like this, I mean, obviously Oklahoma, you know, had a lot of question marks since Kyler Murray, you know, has moved on. How does something like this transpire as far as how were they able to secure him? I mean, can you give us a scoop? Can you give us the skinny?
Are they got Kyler Murray or Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts.
Well, first the family has to reach out to OU. And OU can't reach out to him.
Okay.
They reach out to OU and said, look, we're going to transfer. We're going to go into the portal. Once we go into the portal, would you have an interest in us? If you do, we would like to take an interest to you. And that's how this all started. When it first started coming out that he was going to transfer, there was a lot of people that just assumed Oklahoma would be one of the schools. But as long as Kyler Murray held the chance that he might come back, Jalen Hurts wasn't going to come here if Kyler Murray was coming back. So they had to wait for that decision to make. And once that cleared, then Jalen let everybody know that he was going to visit Oklahoma, Miami, and Houston was involved with it. Oh, Maryland was the other school. But Oklahoma knew that they were officially going to be a part of it. That's when Lincoln told Austin Kendall that they were going after a transfer quarterback, but they were really only going after one, and that was Jalen Hurts. They didn't really go after any others. And the way that Lincoln looked at it, he loves Tanner Mordecai. He liked Austin Kendall, and he liked Spencer Rattler, who was coming in. Mm-hmm. So they just weren't looking for any quarterback. It had to be the one quarterback that they were going after. And so once Jalen let him know and he came in on Saturday, they really did the visit off campus, and they really didn't do it around where anybody could see it. But see, that's all Jalen cares about. Jalen doesn't care about the facilities. He doesn't care about, what uniform. You know, he's proud to wear the uniform, but what's more important to him is that, you know, he's going to get Lincoln's wisdom on what happens at quarterback and quarterbacking in this system, and that's what's more important to him. And That's how they ended up getting him. They basically brought him in. He and Lincoln had great conversations. When he left, I knew he was coming to Oklahoma if everything cleared, and it did, and now he's an Oklahoma Sooner.
Hey, the decision comes by, 9 days after Alabama finished his season with a loss to Clemson. And one thing I really appreciate about Jalen is I just like how he handled the whole transfer and penning that, open letter to the fans and just how appreciative
he was.
Very classy, yes.
See, that's who he is. And that's what I've always heard from Alabama media that I've talked to, is that that letter is a perfect indication of who he is and what he's all about. He loves being an Alabama Crimson Tide player. That's going to be his legacy. I know he's not going to change that, but he's going to have the great privilege of being at two of the blue blood programs in college football history. Not many guys get that opportunity, and he gets to play the primetime position. Alabama fans love him. Oklahoma fans are going to love him. It's going to be an interesting, career for him, because not many guys get to do this. But that letter is a perfect indication. It's on the Players Tribune, I believe. And, if you just want to read how cool some college athletes are, because we always hear how bad they are, or if you want to find out, how good some of them are, read that. And you're going to leave rethinking about some of the things you might have developed over the years about certain players. And if you hate Alabama, you won't hate this Alabama Crimson Tide player, because he's really a classy dude, and what he said and how he brought Oklahoma into it at the end, I thought was perfect.
Is Oklahoma, are you going to miss Austin Kendall? I mean, he obviously was set to transfer to West Virginia. And kind of clear up too, James, I mean, you're there in Norman. Was Oklahoma, were they trying to block, now he's been waived and that he has immediate eligibility, but were they trying to block his ability to be able to transfer?
Well, the Big 12 rule is set up that you can block it, and they tried to block it. Kansas State thought about blocking Alex Delton going to TCU. I understand Oklahoma's point of view. Now I'm all for the players getting more freedom and doing everything that they want to do. It's amazing to me how many times, though, players try to transfer within the conference where they're going to play their old school. And, from Oklahoma's standpoint, Lincoln is pretty secretive about what's going on in his offense and what's going on in his program. And he didn't want, a quarterback that he was grooming to be the starter to go to West Virginia and give away all the secrets. But in the end, ethically, you probably can't stop him. He's graduated, and you don't want to stop him. So in the end, you basically say, go there. And I don't mean this negatively on Austin, but we're still going to beat you. You're at West Virginia, and we're still going to plan on beating you guys. So, that's kind of the way it looks. And OU, everybody was attacking OU about it. And I don't know if that's why OU changed it. But, they've changed some of these decisions before. And OU looks at it at first from their point of view. And I understand their point of view, but this was kind of a interesting deal. But they let him go, and he's enrolling today, and he'll be at West Virginia.
Okay, only got time for about one more question. Give me a quick hit. Kyler Murray, his decision, declared himself eligible for the NFL draft on Monday. Are you excited?
Oh, yeah. Kyler's great to watch, and he's going to be fun to watch. I wish he'd go baseball, because I want him to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. I think he could be a great baseball player. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be wealthy and wise. In football, those guys just get beat up so much. But Kyler avoids a lot of contact. He loves football, and it looks like to me that's what he's going to do. I think a lot of us would like him to go baseball because, we know he'd stay healthy and things like that. But it looks like he's going football. And if he does, he's been the best football player on the field at every level he's ever been at. He's been the dominant player at every level he's ever been at. It'd be interesting to see if he can become that in the National Football League, but I wouldn't put it past him. He's that special.
Making some big-time decisions. Only 21 years of age. He's got a strong arm, quick feet, and it'll be a lot of fun to watch him in the NFL and just to see how this all plays out. A true pleasure to have with us tonight. That is James Hale. We have extended two segments because we never have enough time for James, and we wanted to take a deep dive talking about the Oklahoma Sooners. Check him out, Total Sports 10-2, KREF in Norman, Oklahoma. And James, connect with our national audience. Where can they subscribe to you and follow you on Patreon?
Die Hard Sooner Report. Patreon page, Die Hard Sooner Report. Just Just Google James Hale, Die Hard Sooner Report. I promise you won't be disappointed.
Absolutely. James, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you real soon, okay? Much more coming your way right here, SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. As promised, it is time for some NBA news and notes, and it is hard to believe we are already past the midpoint of the NBA season. And right now, we're going to head up to Dallas. We're going to focus in on the Mavericks. Delighted to have with us on this Friday night, that is Mike Peasley from the Dallas Mavericks Radio Network. Mike is their pre- and post-game host. You can listen to him on 103.3 ESPN. Always a true pleasure to have you with us tonight, Mike. Welcome back.
Great hearing from you again. Hope everything is well. Glad to be with you.
All is well down here in rainy Houston. So talk to us. I mean, as I just mentioned, we are past the midpoint of the NBA season. What's gone right and what's gone wrong for the Mavericks? Here they are, 20-24, and they're coming off a very tough loss against the Spurs on Wednesday night.
Yeah, that loss really, really stung. They had a 19-point lead in the second quarter. They weren't able to hang on and get that one, and that's coming off a loss that they had the other night or last weekend against Golden State when they had a 5-point lead with less than 3 minutes to go, and the Warriors ended that game on an 11-1 run. You flip those two games around, instead of being four games under 500, you're looking at a Mavericks team right now that would be right at the 500 mark. So in terms of what's gone right, obviously Luka Doncic. I mean, that guy has just been incredible, you know, wrap it up rookie of the year, no doubt about it. He had another 25-point performance against the Spurs on Wednesday night, fifth straight time that he has scored at least 25 points in a game. That's something that has been done by a rookie since some guy by the name of Steph Curry back in 2010. So he just continues to amaze, continues to get better and better and better. What's gone wrong here for the Mavericks here recently is the whole Dennis Smith Jr. situation and the trade rumors. And, you know, he didn't play on Wednesday night, quote unquote, sick. So we'll see how that story transpires leading up to the trade deadline coming up on February 7th. But in terms of the future for the Dallas Mavericks, they've got their centerpiece. They've got their new franchise player in Luka Doncic, and he has been just outstanding and so much better than what anybody had anticipated he would be here in his first year in the league.
Yeah, it seems like he has exceeded expectations. We're going to take a deep dive and talk more about Luka and also Dennis Smith Jr., but I want to back up just a moment. You were just talking about the close loss against Golden State and the Mavs, of course, losing that winnable game against the Spurs at home on Wednesday night. And I think back to the month of October, I mean, they lost against the Spurs in overtime. Kind of when you add it all up, I mean, what's the deciding factor? What are the reasons for some of these close losses in these winnable games?
Well, part of it's you know, there's some young guys playing. Jalen Brunson's getting an opportunity now with Dennis Smith Jr. out and with J.J. Barea out for the season as well. And sometimes for young teams, the toughest thing to do is to close out games. And we have seen that here the last couple of times. And, yeah, early in the season, the Mavericks lost some games that were just very, very puzzling. You know, they weren't able to get a home win over the Knicks. They blew a 26-point lead on the road at Atlanta. They've lost twice already this year to the Phoenix Suns. So, you know, the Mavericks are sitting at, you know, four games under 500. They could easily be four games over 500 if, you know, some of those games were flipped. And, you know, some of the issues is that the Mavericks haven't been able to, you know, make enough shots. Sometimes they've turned it over too many times. I thought that was a key factor in Wednesday's loss to the Spurs. They got a little careless with the basketball. That allowed the Spurs to get back into the ball game too. So it's just a matter of, you know, cleaning up those areas as well. And here recently, and Harrison Barnes has gone into a shooting slump in the month of January where he's shooting just 32%. He was 4-for-18 the other night against the Spurs. So Luka's been terrific. He just needs a little help from the rest of his cast.
Hey, glad you're with us on this Friday night. SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio, and the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect with us. Join us at Twitter, at eRadioSports, info at eRadioSports.com, and podcastarena.com. We're going one-on-one with Mike Peasley. He is the Dallas Mavericks Radio Network pre- and post-game host. You can listen to him on ESPN 103.3. And Mike, connect with our audience. Where can they find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at PeasESPN, PeasESPN. So that's the way to do it.
All right. That's very easy. So talk some more about it in terms of the Mavericks play at home. Obviously, they've had a lot more success, and there is a huge disparity between play at home and on the road. Why is that?
Yeah, it's been remarkable. It's one of the puzzling things in the first half of the season is how this team could be, you know, so good at home and, you know, struggle so much on the road where this team has just four road wins. And, you know, before this recent stretch, the Mavericks had only, I think, lost three games at home, but now they've lost three of their last four into their building. But, you know, they've just shot better. They've defended better at home than what they have on the road. And, you know, it's something that I don't really have a good answer for is why this team has been so good at home compared to on the road. Oftentimes they say, you know, the role players will always play better at home than what they do on the road. But for whatever reason, up until, you know, this recent stretch, the Mavericks have been able to make the winning plays coming up in crunch time. Now here the last couple of times they haven't been able to do that, but I think that's been one of the bigger reasons why the Mavericks have had more success at home and on the road is that they were able to make the winning plays down the stretch.
Okay, well, let's talk about the guy that certainly is making one of the biggest storylines right now with the Mavericks, and that's the future of Dennis Smith Jr. It doesn't seem like, you know, Mike, like it's a healthy situation. So let me ask you, I mean, is he requesting a trade? Because I think back to, you know, not too long ago, you were on the program, and it looked all was, you know, well, and the future looked so bright. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't understand. Why isn't he happy?
Yeah, it really is amazing, isn't it, that we have gotten to this point so quickly?
Yeah.
Dennis Smith Jr., according to reports, he and his agent have not officially requested a trade, but they would not, you know, be disappointed if one was made. And it's just pure speculation. Nobody exactly knows why Dennis Smith Jr., and the Mavericks that have gotten to this point, whether it's the relationship between DSJ and Carlisle, because it certainly has nothing to do with Luka Doncic, because those guys are friends. I believe they live in the same apartment complex. They play Fortnite together. Their girlfriends have become good friends
yeah.
as well.
Uh-huh.
So they've got a good relationship, but when they've been on the floor together, you know, it hasn't exactly worked. But again, it's such a small sample size. You know, they've only played just a handful of games together, and if you want to make a, you know, just a sweeping accusation that all those two guys can't play together, you know, it's a little early for that. So again, it's amazing to me that it has come this far so fast, and I honestly think that Dennis Smith Jr.'s probably played his last game as a member of the Mavericks.
Wow.
I think we've gone too far down the tracks to, you know, to be in any kind of recovery mode, because, you know, he missed about 10, 11 games with a wrist injury, then came back. He had a real good game against Oklahoma City, had a big, you know, defensive play against Paul George to help the Mavericks win a game there in late December against the Thunder. But then recently, you know, bothered by a little bit of a back issue. Now the mysterious illness is what the Mavericks are calling it, what kept him out of practice earlier in the week, and missed Wednesday's game against the Spurs as well. So I'm not sure how it's going to end, but I think it is eventually going to end with Dennis Smith Jr. in a different uniform.
Well, the Dallas Mavericks, they have a tremendous front office. I mean, you've got Mark, Donnie, you got Rick as the head coach. That's mm-hmm. the triple threat. They can't work something out here. They've got to try to repair this, you would think. I mean,
yeah, I think if Donnie had his way, I think he would want to try to smooth things over.
Yeah.
But with Rick, I think he's you know, stuck in his ways. He can be stubborn to a fault at times, especially when it comes to young point guards, that when he gets his mind made up, and, you know, there's been some decision making that Carlisle hasn't been thrilled with when it comes to Dennis Smith Jr. in certain situations. But, you know, Carlisle's got a history of, you know, not getting along with point guards. We remember the Rajon Rondo experiment and how awful
sure.
that was when he was here. And then, you know, Rondo leaves and all of a sudden becomes an outstanding player once again and now doing a good job with the Lakers. It's, you know, you can blame Rick Carlisle a little bit for that, saying that, you know, he's the guy that needs to be able to make this work. But it's not a good situation right now. I don't think DSJ and his agent handled it very well. I don't think the Mavericks have handled it very well. It's just a huge cloud looming over this Mavericks team right now.
Hey, we're zeroing in on the Dallas Mavericks, going one-on-one with Mike Peasley. He is the Dallas Mavericks Radio Network pre- and post-game host, does an amazing job. Mike is simply the best. 103.3 ESPN. Okay, let's talk about some little positivity here. Let's put the spotlight on Luka. I mean, he's averaging a team-high 20 points, almost 7 rebounds, and 5 assists per game, and 32 minutes a night. He's only 19 years old. I've got a 17-year-old, Mike. I'm just like, this kid is one mature guy. So is this Luka's team now?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. There is no doubt about it. In every single move that the Mavericks make, every single transaction has to be in mind what is best suited to build around Luka Doncic. Because coming in, the Mavericks thought they had the guy that was going to replace Dirk as this team's new franchise player. Halfway through the season, Alyssa, they now know that they've got the guy that's going to be the new guy. That the torch has been passed to Luka Doncic. He's special. We had heard about him over in Europe, but we never really got to see him. I mean, we saw some YouTube clips of everything, but he has just come in here and just has taken the NBA by storm. His passing is incredible. His teammates love playing alongside of him. He can score. He's got the whole package, and he's got the respect of, you know, his peers. He's got the respect of coaches. That's not normal for 19-year-old kids coming over and playing in the first year of the NBA to have as much respect. And here in a few weeks, when the All-Star game is in Charlotte, Luka Doncic has a chance to be a starter, which is just crazy to think about. A 19-year-old kid coming over from Europe, and, you know, we'll get the latest All-Star balloting coming up here soon. And it's been incredible. I just run out of adjectives, superlatives to describe this kid. He's just been special. I think that's the best way to describe him, is that he is special.
And Luka, only 19 years of age, a very special talent, as you're talking about. And you know what I would love to learn? Is there any way you can pull back the curtain a bit and just share a little bit about as far as his upbringing, his background? I tell you, one interview I would love to have, I'd love to sit down with his parents. You know, they did a remarkable job.
Yeah, they were remarkable. You know, he left his family when I think he was about 12 or 13 years old to start, you know, working on basketball. So, you know, he's been working on this craft a long time. Played for Real Madrid when he was 16 years old. So he'd been playing professionally over in Europe since he was 16. And last year became the youngest EuroLeague MVP, playing in arguably the second best basketball league in the world. So he's not your normal college kid, one and done. College kid coming into the NBA. This guy's been playing against men since he was 16, 17, 18 years old. He's just got a great basketball mind. He loves the game. He loves the game.
Yeah.
And oftentimes as well, he's still kind of reserved. He's just kind of, you know, we haven't really fully seen his personality, but the teammates that we talked to says, he's like a normal 19-year-old kid would be. So he's a lot of fun, and he just continues to get better and better every single day. And, you know, Donnie Nelson threw everything out on the table for the Mavericks, saying this is the guy, and fortunately was able to work out that draft day trade with Atlanta to move up and get him.
Well, Donnie did a fantastic job, and as I understand too, both of his parents were professional athletes, so they've set him up nicely. Okay, so tell me this too. Obviously, being up there in Dallas, you're at all the games. I mean, what's been the feedback from the fans? They just got a real love and admiration for Luka, right?
There's a buzz in the building again. There is a buzz.
I've got to get up there.
you do. I need to see you again. You need to come up and say hi when you get up there.
Yeah, for sure.
But the last couple of years have been rough for the Mavericks, where, you know, admittedly they tanked. They tanked, especially last year. But now with Luka, you know, the building's full again. Everybody wants to go out there. And what's amazing to see and what's amazing to hear is that when Luka starts on a drive or starts to make a pass, and you just feel the fans getting to the edge of their seat, just the anticipation of, oh, what's this kid going to do? What kind of pass is he going to make? What kind of shot is he going to make? It's so much fun. The fans have just, you know, fully embraced him, and Luka has embraced the fans. It's beautiful to see. It's so much fun right now because the last couple of years of Mavericks basketball, it was so dismal. But now Mavericks fans see the future. They see the hope, and it's in this 19-year-old kid.
Our NBA news and notes and the Dallas Mavericks continues with Mike Peasley after this quick break.
This is the Gold Standard.
There's no way. I could practice for a year, Jacob. There's no way I'm kicking a ball 43 yards. When's the last time? I'm trying to remember the last time I tried to kick a football.
I'm trying to remember the last time I kicked anything. Maybe I tried to kick a sock off my foot into the hamper.
How did you make it?
I didn't. And it's a big hamper.
You definitely got to go and try. This is fun. Great idea.
Without a doubt. And it's not like one of those things where if you fail, you're embarrassed.
This is not embarrassing. My most embarrassing moment happened last summer. Minor league baseball game. They had me throw out the first pitch. Video's out there if you guys want to find it. Please don't. It was to the right and short. The worst part, there was a woman before me threw a first pitch, and she crushed it.
How can you have a second first pitch?
The Gold Standard with Alex Gold. Weekday nights from 10 to 1 Eastern on SB Nation Radio. This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's rejoin Mike Peasley, the Dallas Mavericks Radio Network pre- and post-game host. Hey, just a couple more minutes tonight. Mike Peasley, the Dallas Mavericks Radio Network pre-game and post-game host, does an amazing job. ESPN 103.3 in Dallas. And so here we are. We've got, 40-some games over the next few months. What do you think are going to be some of the, goals that they need to accomplish in order to hopefully continue to move up in the Western Conference, which is so formidable?
Yeah, that loss last night really stung in terms of a potential playoff appearance because they began 3 games out of 8. Now they lost that one. They're 4 games under .500. Now they got a tough 2-game trip coming up over the weekend. Saturday night they're at Indiana, and then a Monday afternoon they play at Milwaukee. So they got a couple of tough games against the Eastern Conference teams, and if you lose those two, then all of a sudden you're sitting 6 games under .500, and it's going to be awfully tough to climb out of that hole. But, you know, the goals for the Mavericks in the second half is really the same goals for the Mavericks in the first half, is just continue to let Luka shine and continue to let him develop and figure this out right now here in the NBA. So he's done a tremendous job in the first half, and that's really what this whole season has been about. It's about, identifying, is Luka Doncic the franchise player? I think they've identified that already.
Okay, and so what's your assessment also? I think one of the players that has shined and been perhaps a bit of a surprise for the Mavericks is DeAndre Jordan. Your thoughts on the addition of him?
Yeah, DeAndre Jordan has filled a certain need the Mavericks have had probably since Tyson Chandler left, and that's, rebounding the basketball.
Yep.
He's done a great job in that area of just controlling the defensive glass. I have been a little disappointed in his overall defense. His defense has not been very good. I don't think the Mavericks have been thrilled with the defense that they have given him. They love the rebounding, but again, DeAndre Jordan, signed him to a 1-year deal. I don't think the Mavericks will go with any kind of an extension for him. I think DeAndre Jordan will probably be playing for somebody else next year. Done a great job rebounding, but the overall defense I don't think has been as good as what the Mavericks had anticipated when they got him.
Well, the Mavericks are certainly going to need him. As Mike had just mentioned, they got the Pacers on Saturday, the Bucks, and the Clippers will be right after that. Thank you so much, Mike, for joining us right here, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. I'll see you real soon up in Dallas. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, you bet. Always great talking basketball with you.
Absolutely. That, of course, is Mike Peasley, Dallas Mavericks Radio Network pre- and post-game host. And a big thank you to all of our amazing guests tonight. They are always the biggest and best in sports. We'll see you next weekend right here at SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. Join us online at Twitter @eRadioSports. So long, everybody.